Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at AvalonWaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on from 1 to 4 every day on the radio. After 4 o'clock, the podcast, John and Ken on demand on the iHeart app.
All right, we're going to get right into it. The criminal justice system in California, and more specifically here in Los Angeles County, is in a shambles, and we have a couple of updates today. Later on in the show, we'll be talking about a judge that says, oh, let's get rid of bail. Yeah, the no bail requirement is back like it was during the pandemic. That's nice for the crime rates. But we're going to start with, and of course, the story has to come from the East Coast, the New York Post. Woke LA DA George Gascon has 10,000 case backlog, a toxic attitude which is driving staff away. This is according to their sources, some who went on the record, some who did not. One former deputy DA told the Post, in my career as a prosecutor, I've never had victims' families actually hate us until I came into this office. And you can imagine it's so bad. There's a lot of open positions. People aren't taking these jobs. There's so many cases backed up that have to be filed. We're going to talk now to one of the candidates who would like to replace George Gascon as DA in next year's election. Los Angeles County Deputy DA John McKinney is coming on the show to give his thoughts about this story.
John, how are you?
Good afternoon, John and Ken. Thanks for having me on.
10,000 case backlog? Is anybody doing any work there?
You know, we are doing work. We're working twice as hard as we did before. And I know that's probably surprising to people, but it's because George Gascon can't keep the office at its appropriate staffing levels. No one wants to work for him. The people who have been here are leaving. The young attorneys are leaving within a year of joining the office. Older attorneys are leaving after dedicating so many years and blood, sweat, and tears to the job. It's just a very sad scene here in the DA's office.
I thought he was replacing them all with public defenders. Is that not happening at the rate he needs it to happen?
Well, even the public defenders don't want to work for him. But yes, he has snatched a few of them over from the public defender's office. And I'm sure he'd like to bring more.
What makes the work environment so oppressive? What is he doing? What are the policies? We know about the policies that affect the defendants. What are the policies that are affecting the prosecutors here that makes it so difficult for them to want to work?
You know, people decide to go into public service for deeply personal reasons oftentimes. People don't choose this work because they want to get rich and make a lot of money. So the people who come to work for the DA's office usually come because they want to give something back to society. They want to do justice. They want to support victims. They want to help contribute to a better community. And so they join the DA's office. Why not? The chief prosecutor, the gatekeeper of the criminal justice system, is a great place to work if you are civic minded. But we have a DA now who's changed the mission. The mission is no longer to go into court and do the right thing and be just and support victims. The mission now is to go into court and implement a political ideology that seeks to destroy our court institution.
All the quotes in this news story are very strong. Eric Saddal, the vice president of the Deputy District Attorneys Association, said the reputation of the office has been destroyed. People know he's hostile to employees. Former DA Steve Cooley said that the office is hemorrhaging talent. I mean, it really sounds like an extreme emergency inside the offices.
Well, it is. You know, I've been with the office for 25 years. I was assigned to the most prestigious trial unit in the office. And today I'm talking to you from a small area office in East Los Angeles handling misdemeanor cases because I dared to speak up and speak out against the district attorney. You have people who are just as committed to changing things as I am, but they're not in as comfortable position as I am to speak out. You have people with families, people with loans and mortgages who wish they could lend their voice and their identity behind their statements, but they simply can't because George Gascon has this record of vindictive behavior toward his employees. We've seen, 20 lawsuits reportedly filed against him for mistreating his employees.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, is it possible, John, that not only were you retaliated against because of your speaking out, but also because you're a talented prosecutor, and they don't necessarily want that either, because the idea now is to send as few people to prison, to jail, as we can.
Yeah, and you know, I'm one of a growing number of senior experienced prosecutors who have had a lot of success in the office. You've had John Lewin on a number of times. The list is growing by the day of very effective prosecutors who are being transferred into positions where we can't prosecute. We can't use our talent, our experience, our education to help the community that invested in us so many years ago, hoping that we would stick around for the long haul and do this work that needs to be done. And I know you guys are reporting today about this 10,000 case backlog that is sitting on a server someplace of cases that should have been filed. This is justice delayed. This is justice denied. And it's outrageous, but yet another example of George Gascon's failed leadership.
There must be a lot.
What does that mean for public safety when you have 10,000 cases on backlog?
Well, nothing good. I can tell you when those cases do get filed, they're usually filed too late. I can tell you here in East L.A., we've had a number of cases that were filed after the statute of limitations had run. And even some that were filed the last week before the statute was to run. We're getting a lot of speedy trial motions. Courts are granting these motions because they're finding no excuse for why we are not moving faster in this office.
The former deputy DA who said that, made that quote that Ken referenced earlier about victims' families actually hate us. He said, we're hated by all the victims because of a lack of prosecution and low sentences. Gascon is so focused on justice for black and brown defendants, but the victims and their families are also black and brown. Where is the justice for them? How do you respond to that? That's a former deputy DA talking.
Yeah, well, here's my response. And, you know, every DA is having a different experience in this office. We're a big office. We're located throughout the county of 10 million people. I think that we are doing our level best to mete out as much justice as we can. I think that, at least in my experience, the victims that I talk to appreciate how hard we're working, and they are aware of the circumstances that we're working under. So I would disagree slightly with the statement that all victims hate us. I don't think that's true. I think that we're finding ways to be as supportive as possible of victims, and they appreciate it.
What about the part of the comment, John, and you are African-American yourself, that the victims are often black and brown. And if Gascon thinks that the criminal justice system isn't fair to the criminals when they're black and brown, what about the victims?
Yeah, victims are invisible to George Gascon. And quite frankly, they're invisible to a lot of elected leaders in this community and statewide. I don't know what happened over the last 20 years because victims used to be at the center of our criminal justice system. Everything was victim-centric, and now it's just the opposite. Everything is defendant-centric. Take African-American women, for example. African-American women make up 4% of L.A. City's population, 4%, yet they make up 33% of the homicide victims.
Wow.
That is an important stat. That is something that any reasonable district attorney should be talking about. He should be ringing the alarm bell. He should be calling for resources. He should be 200 lawyers above staffing to try to attack that problem. But he's not. He won't talk about the large numbers of African-American and Hispanic young men who are being slaughtered in our streets.
What is this about? That statistic is stunning. So what is this movement about?
Well, look.
I don't get the point of all this.
You know, you have a lot of non-serious people being elected to office. We see growing numbers on the city council, the board of supervisors. We have a DA who's not serious. And, you know, they've all subscribed to some notion that society is unfair, government is unfair, our institutions are all racist. And it makes no sense to me. I've tried to explain George Gascon, but trying to explain crazy just makes you sound crazy. But I trust that the reasonable people of L.A. County have finally figured this all out and that they're going to make a change, at least to the DA's office in 2024. And that's why I'm running for district attorney.
And you mentioned the city council, the board of supervisors, the DA. Let me just get your quick comments on what they want to put us on as a path to what they call, John, alternatives to incarceration, diversion programs. Basically, they don't necessarily want people going through the traditional criminal justice court system and possibly ending up in jail or prison. They want them treated, what, through mental health facilities? I mean, what's your take on that whole philosophy?
Well, I think that there is a growing movement of people who don't believe punishment is a legitimate goal of the criminal justice system. They don't think punishment is a legitimate goal. They think that every consequence to a crime should be to try to make the offender a better person. Now, look, all of us believe in rehabilitation and reform when it's possible, but we also recognize that for certain crimes, there needs to be an element of accountability and punishment as well. I think there are people in our government who are letting our institutions like our jails, and we're hearing reports today about our juvenile facilities literally crumbling on the heads of the minors who are housed there. They want those institutions to fail. This is willful neglect. They want them to fail and close so they have an excuse for people not being ordered into confinement when it's appropriate to do so.
John, thank you so much for talking to us again. I know we'll be talking a lot. It is McKinney4LA.com. That's McKinney, the number 4LA.com. John McKinney, L.A. County Deputy District Attorney and candidate for L.A. County DA in 24. Thanks for coming on again.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Ken.
All right.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on live from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, you can hear the show as a podcast, John and Ken on Demand, on the iHeart app. And if you're just joining us this minute, we just had on John McKinney, Deputy DA, who's running to replace George Gascon. In fact, if you missed the interview, you could hear it on the podcast after 4 o'clock. And on this New York Post story, 10,000 case backlog, dozens of Deputy DAs quitting. They have a lot of job openings there. And there was one statistic he said that just blew my mind. 4% of L.A. County made up of black women. They're 33% of the murder victims.
That should be all you need to know. That tells you where the problem lies with George Gascon's policies.
So Gascon is a screaming racist. And he uses racism to deflect his own massive failures. When you let 4% of the population become one-third of the murder victims, what kind of racism is in your soul? What kind of hatred do you have?
And all your sympathy lies with the criminal.
What can
we do to help the criminal?
And that's so sick. But it's like John McKinney said. He goes, you try to explain crazy, you sound crazy yourself. There's no basis for this. There's no rational thought behind this at all. 4% of the population, black women, 33% of the murder victims in L.A. County. And you know what? That statistic has to be thrown in the face of every jackass progressive in government over and over again, every time they scream racism, including the black activists.
And I'm glad we have, you know, it's often not the case. We have a couple of good candidates who want to replace Gascon. We have John McKinney and John Hatami. And also Nathan Hochman. All three of them would really bring us back to where we have to be in the criminal justice system in L.A. County. So, you know, they could easily split the vote next year in the primary, and only one of them would advance against Gascon. Wouldn't it be great if two of them, if Gascon finished like third or fourth? But, you know, maybe I'm too hopeful and too optimistic.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was polling done during the recall movement that people were against Gascon by about a 3-1 margin. And I can't imagine it's much better right now.
I'll tell you one thing. I mean, somebody put us on his stupid mailing list, but he's been sending out a lot of pleas for money in the last few weeks. I don't know if he has some internal polling that told him he's got to get early on this. I'm talking about Gascon. He's got to get on top of this, and he's sending out all these things about what he's doing for victims. It's also another theme of his emails.
The only way his polling could go up, and even then it would just inch up, is if he completely was out of the news and people forgot.
Right.
You see that happen with presidents. Their polling after they're out of office goes up and people remember them more fondly for whatever reason. You see that with presidents while they're in office, too. The more they're in the news, the worse it is. He's going to be in the news a lot. And he has such a horrific record so far that I think his campaign is going to be hopeless. But it's good that there's going to be a lot of people articulating what's wrong with Gascon.
Yep. Well, let's hope there's a lot of focus and votes next year when we get to primary time. The answer on the John and Ken show is two. Two people picked Tina Turner in the 2024 Gould poll, just to give you that update. And, of course, the announcement made early this afternoon that she passed away at the age of 83, which is remarkable because you always think of her as just so youthful. I can't imagine her in her 80s. I don't think she's made a lot of public appearances in the last few years.
She
of course, made the great comeback in the mid-80s when she released that powerful album.
She had the best legs I ever saw in a music concert. No, seriously.
And she wore the short skirts, so
there
was plenty of leg to see.
I saw her at the Greek Theater years ago when she was, you know, still at 100% strength. And wow, I still watch her videos sometimes online.
I watched that special. Did you see it on HBO about her life?
I watched it.
It was like an hour or two. I watched most of it.
Yeah, I've seen several of documentaries on her and that movie that they did years ago. She was one of my all-time favorites. And you know what's really interesting? I don't know what time she died today, but I was thinking about her driving in. I hadn't heard the news. I heard a countdown show yesterday, and one of her old songs was on the countdown. And I was thinking about her career, and it was really rare. She was completely, like, off the charts for about 10 years or more.
Oh yes.
She was really out of sight, although she'd be on television occasionally because she'd put on those ferocious shows. But you know, she wasn't selling any records for quite some time. And I was thinking how rare it was at 44. And she, you know, because, you know, top 40 music is always for people in their
youth,
20s.
Right. Yeah. Teens and 20s. Right.
And I remember she and Aretha Franklin both had a comeback at the same time. And the two of them had already had long careers, and they were at least in their 40s, and they both exploded during the mid-80s.
What happened to her is she had to get rid of Ike during the 70s.
Yeah.
It was an ugly marriage, abusive, obviously, and it wasn't, I think, until the mid-70s that she finally unleashed herself from him and then eventually slowly made her comeback with the big hits in the 80s, right?
Yeah, but that was quite a run she had. And then she was set. Then she became an icon for life after that.
She did
second
a Mad
run.
Max movie, right? She did that.
But
yeah.
You see her, because I look her up a lot when she did old variety shows or talk shows. I mean, you see her dance when she was in her 20s and 30s. Yikes. I haven't seen anyone else like that.
Just her voice, so powerful.
It's yeah.
So unique and powerful. You can't forget it whenever one of her songs comes on. You know it's her because of her uniqueness. All right, we got more coming up. We're going to give you an update when we return, and it's an interesting one. Remember the big story the other morning? That, a guy tried to ram a U-Haul truck into the White House barriers and make his way in there to kill Biden and take over the country? There's an interesting update on that story. False flag, John Cobalt?
False Nazi flag?
Maybe. And also we have Ron DeSantis officially running for president. That's next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4 after 4 o'clock. Go to the iHeart app, John and Ken on demand podcast.
Yeah, and the Moist line is coming back around day after tomorrow, just that quick. So we're still gathering your messages. Leave them through the app using the microphone icon, a direct message there, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. We're going to talk more in a moment, but coming up at 3 p.m. our time, 6 p.m. Eastern, that's when Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, sits down with Elon Musk on Twitter and talks about running for president. He did file the paperwork. He is now officially in the 2024 race, and we'll talk about that in a moment. We're going to update you now on the guy that, he drove the U-Haul truck into the barriers at the White House the other night. His name is Sai Varshith Kandula. And John, we now understand he is Indian.
Indian.
That is, and he's not a U.S. citizen.
A rare...
Not.
Not?
Not. N-O-T.
Is he here legally?
They are not saying right now. It's the only piece of information Fox News Digital could extract.
A non-citizen trying to ram his U-Haul to the White House? That's only for citizens, that privilege.
Well, that will get him in further trouble for deportation, will it not?
Yes. I don't know. These days?
Now, he may have legal paperwork to be here. I don't know that.
Yeah, but still.
He's just not a U.S. citizen.
You've got to be a citizen to drive your truck into the White House.
Anyway, he did appear in court today, but here is the bit of the bombshell. Charges have been markedly dropped. We're now down to really, the term they're using is downgraded. Remember, they had all that stuff in there about threatening to kill, kidnap, or inflict harm on a president, a vice president, or a family member?
Yeah.
As well as assault with a dangerous weapon?
Well, yeah.
Reckless operation of a motor vehicle, trespassing and destruction of federal property?
That's what it all was, though.
All dropped. One single count of depredation of property of the United States in excess of $1,000. Depredation.
I don't even know what that means.
Well,
I guess it means damaging it.
Damaging, yes. Depredation, right.
I don't know.
So this almost sounds like a misdemeanor. I don't know. Not sure if it's a misdemeanor.
Plundering. Another good word.
So some people, he's a self-described unemployed data analyst.
Okay, I don't understand this because usually.
And we learned a little more about him. What's that?
Well, usually you ram a truck trying to get on the White House property. That's all kinds of terrible federal felonies, right?
And then when you tell everybody I'm here to kill the president, I mean, the Secret Service is all over. If you make a threat online,
what
it's
is
probably
this?
A serious deal.
What? Some?
I don't know why everything got downgraded.
They got
suddenly.
Some woke a-hole district attorney.
People are smelling a false flag, John. I'm just telling you this. The story's already coming in.
They're smelling a false flag.
Suddenly, all of the dropping of most of the charges tells people, well, what was this?
Well, that doesn't make sense based on, so, I mean, you can see with your own eyes what he did.
Well, here it is. He took a one-way flight from St. Louis to Washington, D.C., arrived around 8 p.m. He rented a U-Haul box truck and drove directly to the White House. His goal, get to the White House, seize power, and be put in charge of the nation. When asked how, he said he would kill the president if that's what I have to do, and he would hurt anyone that would stand in his way.
He can't lay out the threat any clearer.
He said that he was successful because he sent a message. Kandula stated the message was meant to be sent to all organizations like the Secret Service. Either way, whether I get into the White House or not, my message was received. Well, he said when he gets arrested, his book would get to those who needed to see it. What is the book? A green book in which he had written his plans to enter the White House and what he would accomplish if he was in charge.
So why
he's 19.
Why would you let this guy go? Yeah, but 19 is a legal adult.
He might be let go. Those charges don't sound serious.
No, they don't.
Like a vandalism charge.
There's nobody in prison for depredation.
He, of course, went on to praise Nazism. Great history, he said. He likes their authoritative nature. Eugenics, he likes. And the idea of one world order.
Hmm.
When asked if he looks up to any leaders, he answered, well, yes, Hitler. He was strong.
And they're letting this guy go. He brought a Nazi flag with him.
The only thing the media can't run with is that he wasn't a young white kid because he's Indian. This is a very strange little...
Does that have something to do with the charges being dropped?
I don't know. Or the muted coverage? I don't know. There's not really a lot being written on this story.
Right.
But obviously because he didn't get into the White House, it doesn't make it as big on
All right. I smell a false flag, too. There's something wrong here. I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong.
What would be the point of the false flag is what I can't figure out.
I don't
out.
Know. But I don't understand this. This makes no sense on its face. So what's the reason? What's the story? And if there is a good reason, then why don't they tell us?
They talked to Aniket Sharma, who attended high school with Kandula. And he said, I couldn't believe it for the first 5 or 10 minutes. I'd never expected to be doing something like this. I never thought a day like this would come. But he did worry about his friend's mental state, although I don't have any elaboration on that. Was there anything he noticed recently about this Missouri guy? All right, we mentioned that Ron DeSantis is officially in the race to be president of the United States. He, of course, enters the Republican presidential primary field at 3 o'clock our time. That will be him on Twitter with Elon Musk to talk about his campaign. He's the 44-year-old governor of Florida. And, of course, I'm reading several media reviews that he's too stiff. That he looks, I was reading one in Politico, he always looks like he's uncomfortable in the room and he hates the public.
I like him already.
Yeah.
That's me. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with being uncomfortable and hating the public?
Others would portray him as the right guy on policies along with Trump, but he wouldn't have Trump's personality, well, abrasiveness, wild card behavior.
He may be stiff, but he's going to be running against an actual stiff.
Biden, right. Yeah, if he wins the nomination. He was hotter 6 months ago in the polls. He's kind of dropped down a bit in the polling. And, of course, he won re-election as governor of Florida, and that really boosted his status.
Once Trump got indicted in this upside-down inverted world.
Oh, yeah, because they rallied to his defense and said, that's who I'm voting for the nomination. Right. Right.
And
that's the problem for DeSantis. He has to get past Trump first. So
I don't know. Trump's got a cult going here.
The thing is, if he can get past Trump and he's one-on-one with Biden, a lot of people who don't like Trump and, you know, I guess these independents might side with him. But if it's Trump against Biden, I don't know if that's going to happen. That's the problem for the Republicans in this race.
Yeah, I think DeSantis is a much better bet to beat Biden than Trump.
Now we have DeSantis, Trump, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott. Oh, I forgot about Asa Hutchinson, John, your friend. And this Vivek Ramaswamy. I understand it's kind of a wild card. It's a biotech entrepreneur, Vivek.
Yeah, I've read.
And of course, Mike Pence might be entertaining.
He's actually very entertaining. I heard him too.
He can be really vocal.
Yeah.
And amusing. I don't know that much about him. I may be able to look up more. But, that's the lineup right now. And I don't know when the first.
And on the Democrat side, we have a president who is deceased and a vice president who's permanently stoned.
And we have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Don't forget him.
Who's insane.
All right, we got more coming up. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Well, we're going to have a great year and a half coming up.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, we just announced that Ron DeSantis is officially in the race for president. The Florida governor filed the paperwork. He'll do his Twitter appearance with Elon Musk in the 3 o'clock hour here on the West Coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, from Florida at some big hotel. Trump has already put out some things. Of course, he's calling him Ron DeSantis. I thought it was DeSanctimonious. DeSantis?
Ron DeSanctimonious was his.
Yeah, this time it was just Ron DeSantis. He said that Ron
that
DeSantis...
makes no sense.
Needs a personality transplant. To best of my knowledge, they're not available yet. He's a very disloyal person. I guess because Trump believes that he's the one that made DeSantis what he is.
Yeah, no, Trump was raving about him and helped get him elected back in 2018, I think, because DeSantis only won by a tiny, tiny sliver.
I do remember that. That's right. And then he got reelected last year. That's right. But he did very well last year.
Trump was president and campaigned for DeSantis. So, yeah, he probably pushed him over the edge.
Yep.
But
by the way, DeSantis studied at Yale, where he played baseball. He would go to Harvard Law School, become a Navy Judge Advocate General Officer. That took him to Iraq and Guantanamo Bay detention camp. He ran for Congress in 2012. Won an Orlando area district, became a founding member of the far-right Freedom Caucus on Capitol Hill. And then, of course, he ran for governor of Florida, as John said, in 2018, with Trump's help, because Trump was president at the time. And then he got reelected overwhelmingly in 2022. And, of course, a lot of people know him for his battles with Newsom in the culture wars, right, concerning which state is freer, right?
Well, he's about 50 times smarter than Newsom. He's very smart. He's very tough. Yeah. He's got a military background, a law background, 2 degrees from Ivy League schools. Nobody should underestimate him. And I think he could cause Trump a lot of problems because Trump is not nearly as smart and not nearly as focused and disciplined.
All right, now we move over to an animal story. Deborah Mark there?
Present.
Dead or alive?
What dead or alive?
The animal.
Oh, I thought you meant me.
No.
I thought we were playing that game where you try to guess if a celebrity is dead or alive.
No, animal dead or alive.
Do you have to ruin it?
Oh, I'm just, all right, I wouldn't, you don't have to answer.
I'm going to be on Deborah Mark's side on this one. I really feel bad about this, and I can't believe they did this.
What?
Some clown in Yellowstone National Park, a man looks to be in his 40s or 50s. There's actually a photo. He came upon a bison calf that looked to be stranded from the rest of the herd. So he grabbed it and he pulled it up a hillside and reunited it with the herd. Do you know what happened next? What? The herd rejected the calf.
Oh, no.
And because park rangers thought it was too dangerous, the calf kept walking.
No, no, you're not going to say what I think you're going to say.
They euthanized it.
You don't know. Come on.
It's a baby bison calf. It's adorable. You can see the picture of
him. Why did they euthanize it?
Because they're stupid.
A needle, I guess, John.
No, why?
Well, that's what I thought. I thought there might be a sanctuary somewhere.
Exactly.
There's got to be. I realize it's going to grow into a monster of a size, but there's got to be a farm somewhere where they could take this animal in.
Somebody was lazy.
I thought you were going to tell us the guy got stampeded by the herd. That's where
Oh, no, I knew where
that was
going.
That was the ending I was rooting
for.
That
would have been the right ending. They're looking for the guy. He could face up to 6 months in jail or $5,000 fine. You have to stay at least 25 yards away from... got two breeding bison herds in the park.
So the mother didn't... come out?
Yeah, well, the herd kind of walks together, and they wouldn't let the... I guess they kept nudging it out.
Really? So once you leave the herd, that's it, you're done?
Yeah, remember that's true with birds?
Tough
People
love,
say
yes.
If you could touch a bird, the mother bird will reject it.
Yep. No, I didn't know that either.
Yep.
Yes. I mean, I was young and my memory's hazy, but I believe that... it was my brother or my sister sometimes took baby birds and put them in a box in the porch. One day, they pecked their way right in and killed it.
The other birds?
They did, yeah. Yeah, me. I did.
Well,
yeah, they pecked through the screen porch, yes. Ripped it open, went in there and killed the baby bird in the box while we were gone for an hour or two.
You have to wear gloves. You have to wear gloves so that maybe, if you're going to do that, so that your scent isn't on the bird.
Yeah, that's what it is, right.
See, these animals are not so nice, Deborah.
Well, some of the, it's tough love, I guess, with the mom.
That's
I don't know.
It's really tough love.
I know.
It's like, go off and die. So they really couldn't take that bison somewhere, huh? She was going to, I guess the little baby would die neglected, no food?
I think somebody just thought, okay, let's just do a quick fix because there's no reason why it couldn't go to a sanctuary. And no reason at all, just to euthanize?
What if the bison at the sanctuary rejected it?
Maybe it would be the lone bison at the sanctuary.
Weren't they rejected too, though, Eric? They should be more loving.
That's fair.
A world without friends.
The National Park Service is just saying that it would not be able to survive on its own. Survival depends on its own daily decision and natural selection. They do not interfere in the natural death of animals on public lands, including orphaned offspring.
Now, I don't know any of this stuff. Was it because a human touched the bison?
Yeah, that's exactly why it got rejected.
So if the baby had just wandered away for a while...
And they got it and pulled it back, I don't think it would be a problem. But I think you're right, it's the scent. They picked up the scent of a foreign element, which is a person. And they rejected the animal. You can't be with us anymore.
We've had a ton of animals in our house, right? Because one of my sons, I mean, literally dozens of little creatures and birds over the years. And I remember one of the birds... had a few eggs which hatched, and we had an issue because the mother birds kept killing the little babies as soon as they came out of, or they would like push them right out of the
nest. Well, what did you do? You must have done something to upset the mama bird.
No, I didn't do anything.
Well, then why would the mama do that?
I don't know. We had this thing where
Did you touch the eggs?
I didn't do anything.
Did somebody in your family touch the eggs?
I don't know what my son did. He was the keeper of the animals.
So maybe that's what happened.
I just go out and buy the food.
What would you like to happen to that guy that did this, Deborah Mark, that... yanked the poor bison calf up and reunited it with the turd because he thought he was doing something good.
Exactly. I don't think that he should be in trouble. He was. Yes, he thought he was doing something good. I may have done the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I have read and I know you don't go anywhere near them. Are these idiots that want
selfies? I didn't know that.
But when you see this baby struggling, I think it's just an instinct. You just want to help it.
Yeah, maybe he thought it was near the water. Maybe he thought it was going to drown.
Yeah, exactly.
He's pulling it up outside like a little river bed there.
He wasn't doing anything to be intentionally harmful to the bison or the group.
I would have been worried about a stampede because we've gone to Yellowstone a couple of times. And have you been up there when there's these huge herds of bison?
Oh, yeah. We took pictures from the road, but I wouldn't get... Yeah, they cross over.
Yeah,
right?
And that these are big, monstrous animals. I wouldn't go up near them.
All right, when we return, the San Francisco mayor decided to have an outdoor event to talk about the fentanyl crisis. Well, chaos ensued. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark Lott in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Leesa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at AvalonWaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.